2005-2006, gathered some answers regarding the top reasons for eating fast food. The percentages represent the participants who agreed with each statement. Statement one, fast food is quick, 92.3%. Fast food is easily accessible, 80.1%. I enjoy fast food for the taste, 69.2%. Fast food is low priced, 63.6%. I don't have time to cook, 53.2%. I feel like I'm on Family Feud, right? Fast food is how I treat myself, 50.1%. I don't like to cook, 44.3%. My friends or family enjoy fast food, 41.8%. I use it to socialize with my friends and family, 33.1%. There are nutritious options at fast food restaurants, 20.6%. Fast food restaurants are fun and entertaining, 11.7%. Why is fast food so popular? December 16, 2018. So this is 8 years later. I think it's common knowledge by now that fast food is unhealthy. So why is it still so popular? There are three major factors that contribute to fast food's popularity. You might be saying, what in the world does this have to do with the message? Hold on. One, it's inexpensive. Two, it's easy. And three, it's reasonably appetizing. One, inexpensive. A major reason junk food is so popular is because you can get a large amount of food for very little money. Almost any fast food restaurant has a dollar menu or something similar. You can get a full meal and a full belly for merely a few dollars. It's the same situation at the grocery store. Healthy foods, such as fresh produce, tend to be more expensive, while high-fat, high-sodium meals and snacks are much cheaper. Yeah, but they don't taste as good. A cup of instant ramen noodles costs less than 50 cents, while a fresh orange costs a dollar. Although a lot of junk food is inexpensive financially, I think you could agree, or you could argue, that these foods are more expensive in the long run because of their impact on our health. Number two, convenience. This goes hand in hand with low cost. Junk food is readily available in gas stations, grocery stores, and vending machines. I just have to walk away from Hostess. Whatever has the Hostess name on it, I just got to walk away. Remember those instant ramen noodle cups from the grocery store. They're ready in minutes, and you can store them in your cabinet forever. It said a long time, but you know what I mean. Unsurprisingly, fast foods are called fast for a reason. If you go to a fast food restaurant and order food, you can eat it in a minute or two later. Or you can stay in your car and eat it as you drive by. Three, sweet, fatty, salty. Can't you taste it? I'll never forget the first time I had Nutty Buddy bars. I never had them in my life until I was a science teacher at North Star. Man. Started me on my addiction. Junk foods aren't exactly known for their complicated flavors. They're usually either sweet, fatty, salty, or all three. These simple tastes might be preferable to some people, like children who dislike the taste of vegetables. But it's not just about flavor. People are known to enjoy combinations of fat and sugar. Fat makes for smooth, creamy textures. Starchy, salty foods like potato chips have a nice crunch. I hope you've eaten. This isn't to say that healthy foods don't have good texture as well, but it may be more of an acquired taste. Have I whet your appetite? As the school year begins and personal schedules and calendars ramp up, sometimes it seems that it's impossible to fit it all in. Family, work, kids, school, sports, music lessons, church. God, devotions, quiet time. Now you know where I'm going, right? Okay, the title of my message is Drive-Through Nourishment. Let's talk about, on our first Wednesday, officially school begins, we're going to talk about drive-through nourishment. Because for some of us, that's all the time we have. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful, grateful again for your word, for our church family, for the Spirit of God, and the word of God to instruct us, teach us, mold us, and make us, and teach us, and search us, feed us, and nourish us, Lord. For those that can't be with us, we pray. Watch over them in a special way. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And this is not going to be deep, because this is a drive-through nourishment message. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. What do you do when you don't have a lot of time? Ladies have this spray that you put on your hair. Instead of washing your hair, you spray it. Never heard of such a thing. How many have heard of such a thing? Right? You spray your hair instead of washing it. Why do they do that? It's fast. That's what they tell me. I've never done it. If you've ever seen me without my hair washed, it is what it is. Right? There are times we don't have time for showers. So we put on deodorant and walk out. At least you should do that, right? At least be considerate of other people. I mean, for goodness sakes, right? So there are just some things that sometimes we have to bypass because it's not in the schedule. It's not in the calendar. Before I read the passage, I'll never forget my first Romanian trip. I'm over in Eastern Europe where we're going to a church in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania. We're taking a bus. Of course, none of us can speak Romanian. I don't know. So our translator says, well, this is where we have to go. He shows the bus driver the map, drops us off at a town. Of course, it's raining. We're carrying our luggage, backpack, whatever we have, and we have to meet people we've never met before. There's four of us in the team and an interpreter. So by the time we get to the house church that we were supposed to go to, we're drenched, completely drenched. Then they separate us to go to the homes that we're going to stay in. So myself and this engineer from Kansas City Baptist Temple were staying in this house. Services began, were supposed to begin like in an hour. And he looked at me and I looked at him. We both looked like ducks that had just come in from the rain. What are we going to do? I says, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to take out my baby wipes. I'm going to have a baby wipe shower and get ready for church. You might say that's ridiculous. That's all I had. That's all I had. Hadn't washed my hair in 2 weeks. Not that that matters, but I remember going to this place where we were, and these little kids were trying to teach us Romanian. That was funny. At this house church, and they invited us over for dinner one night, and I said, I don't know about you, but I could really use to wash my hair. What do you have? And they said, we have a well. You know, one of those pump wells. It was in April. Eastern Europe. That was cool. That was cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Sometimes we have to do things because we don't have time to do what we would normally do if we had the time. So how do we begin this transition to another year of school when we were so on the lazy river this summer? I mean, all of us, you know, did nothing, right? We stayed home. We ate chips and dip. Our schedules this summer were just as crazy as they are now. So we have to come to a place where what do we do when there's not a lot of time for a 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour devotional time? Well, please don't ever ignore prayer in God's word. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pop a verse completely out of context. Because sometimes in our reading and in our devotion time and even in the sermon, the Word of God and the Spirit of God might pop out at you, slap you upside the head like a salmon, and say, that's for you. Not that you ignore everything that led up to that, but that's what God wants perhaps you to meditate on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 are incredible passages of Scripture about giving. And Paul is instructing the Corinthian church about all the benefits and the incredible opportunities there are for biblical, faithful, joyful giving. And he ends chapter 9 with an acorn, with this beautiful, incredible seed thought that is so deep, so powerful, that you could think on this for years. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God. Now, if there was a period there, that'd be enough, right? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Do you know how many sermons Spurgeon preached on that verse? More than you'd like to read. Why that verse? Because there's so much there. What gift? What does it mean to be unspeakable? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What does that mean in the Greek? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to the church? What does that mean to God? So you don't have to have a sit down, Cracker Barrel, multi-dimensional breakfast. You can have one verse and chew on that all day long. Couldn't you? You could. You could meditate on it. Are you? We talk about dissecting and defining it. Tear it apart. Get out your dictionary. Define every single one of those words and put it back together again. What does it mean now? Does it mean a little bit more because you've spent a little bit of time understanding what the words mean? Thanks be unto God. Why? For his unspeakable gift. Context? You don't know it, do you? Now, we mentioned it was giving. But in these two chapters, the word grace is used for giving. The grace of giving. Not the grace of salvation. Not the grace of patience. Not the grace of this, that, or the other thing. But the grace of giving. So if you read the verse or two before, he's talking about the grace of God. That could be his unspeakable gift. It could be salvation, because that's what Paul preached to that city. He started that church, that work. So these people now have the Lord. What an unspeakable gift. Now, there are some chapters, and you can amen this, in the Old Testament where you scratch your head thinking, what did I just read? Right? There are some passages of Scripture where it's like, okay, I mean, because of my Old Testament, New Testament Bible reading today, this year anyway, I was in Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2, as well as 2 Chronicles chapter I don't know what. So I'm in 2 Chronicles, I'm in Joel, and I'm scratching my head. I mean, it's good, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. So I'm reading prophecy in Joel. In 2 Chronicles, I'm reading history about, you know, the tribes in Judah and Israel and the wars that they have, and the king reigned this many years and his son took over. And so I'm reading history, I'm reading prophecy, and I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm saying I get historical Christianity, prophetical Christianity, and practical Christianity. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And I couldn't get past that verse for the rest of the day. I couldn't get past the verse. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, that's what you want me to preach on. He basically said, no. Okay, well, then what do you want me to talk about? Well, think about today. Think about what's going on in the community. Think about what's going on in the church. Half the church will be here because it's Wednesday night. What's going on? Well, people are busy. People are crazy. Our lives are out of control. Even when we think they're in control, they're still out of control. So therefore, we can get nourishment. You can go to Tim Hortons and get something that isn't 1,000 calories. Now, you might not want to walk out of there without those delectable items. But you can get a yogurt. You get a fruit cup. There are some things, if you are discerning and if somebody's beating you, say, no, you can't have that. I don't know if you go to McDonald's and get anything that's nutritious, can you? Do they have salads? Wendy's has salads. So, you know, you say what? With worse how? Oh. So there goes my whole sermon. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, I've been reading since I got saved, 1983. So I've been trying to read the scriptures faithfully. And everybody knows 1 Corinthians is the chapter on love, right? Wrong. It's a chapter on charity. Now, love is one thing. Charity is something else. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says love. I get that. But that word there, love, does not mean love like you and I mean love. That's not phileo love. It's not sexual love. It's not brotherly love. It's not friendship love. It's agape love. So agape love is nothing that you have, nothing that you can produce, nothing that you can work up, train up, pray up, nothing. It's a gift from God. It's called a fruit of the Spirit. So agape love is charity. So this chapter is all about agape love. So it's not about a marriage. It's not about this, that, and the other thing. And I know we use it devotionally, and that's fine. But every time we see the word charity, think of the love of God through you. Charity. Agape love. So as we look at this particular chapter, it's incredibly informative because somebody might say, well, what is agape love? You have a whole chapter on it. It's very descriptive. It's very informative. Now, what's interesting about this is how we as believers, as we as Christians, as we as church members, get things wrong and out of balance and out of place and out of priority because we don't follow the scriptures. So again, you could read the entire chapter, do all your studies, do all your word studies, look up all the words you want to in the Greek and so forth. But verse 13 says, and now... That's kind of like a, let's summarize the whole thing. Abideth, faith, hope, charity. These three. Now, if you put your hand over the rest of the passage of Scripture, pretend you didn't know it, and you ask the average Christian on the street, those three, which is the most important, what do you think the average Christian would say? Faith. Faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have that verse, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What does this verse say? The greatest of these is charity. Now, again, I don't know about you, but that's not a drive-through verse. That's a verse you're going to have to sit on for a while. You're going to have to meditate on that verse. You're going to have to chew on that for a while. Now, again, if you're a casual reader and you want the fast food version of the Bible, that verse might not stick. It might be a sticky note without the sticky. It might not stick. But if you thought about that and meditated on that, I say that because that passage of Scripture, that verse is changing my life as we speak. Because I say to myself, how many times have I as a pastor not demonstrated agape love to my church family? To any individual for that matter. Think of the person you don't get along with right now. You know who it is. Do you unreservedly give them agape love every single time? Nope, me neither. Quite frankly, you don't want to be around them. If it was your druthers and if you could choose, you'd avoid them. Is that what Jesus wants? No. So you kick the stone down the street and say, I failed again. Yes. We have failed, but God doesn't fail. God never fails. And there might be a moment, and maybe there has been, when you've had that irritating person, when God showed up and you were actually sweet. God was sweet through you. And that person knew it. That person sensed it. And you thought you were having an out-of-body experience. Right? You were thinking, what did I just say? Am I out of my mind? That's not what I meant. I really wanted to be mean and rotten and ugly and belligerent. I don't like this person. Yeah, but God loves them. Just like he loves you. That can ruin a day's worth of prayer, right? That can put you right on your face in total humility and say, Lord, wow, wow. That's something to chew on. And that's not a fast food verse. So let's go to another passage of scripture that's not a fast food verse. Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm trying to help you, knowing that our schedules are crazy. Romans 5, verse 8, but God. Now, if you've never heard a verse or a message on those two words, you should. But God. Meaning whatever's going on in your life, there's still God. Not to say that that should be your default, but God commendeth his love toward us. When? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What can we say to that? As people have been witnessing to us and telling us, you don't have to dress yourself up. You don't have to clean yourself up. Come just as you are to the cross, because that's all God expects. That's all God needs. And God will demonstrate to you. God will prove to you. God will show you. God will introduce to you. God will establish. God will exhibit his love toward you in that while you're yet a sinner, he died for you. I think it was Burger King that had those poppers that had peppers in them. What were they called? Was it? Mighty Taco. What were those poppers called? Jalapeno poppers. My wife loved those. And then they got rid of them. She said, what do you mean you got rid of them? They're my favorite. Do they still have them? No. You have your favorite. Of course, you won't tell us what they are. You're a fast food junkie. We're all fast food junkies. And we all have our favorite thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, you usually do that away from church family. At least somebody's honest. Right? Right? You know, you have your stash of Ventimin donuts stashed in your bedroom or somewhere. The people that are laughing can relate. I don't care what it is. You got your own stash of something. Janet Lynn calls M&Ms her vitamins. So when she's teaching at Spencer Port High School, she says to her students, oh, I just got to go get some vitamins. They laugh because they know they're peanut M&Ms. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 11. Finally, when that's inspired by God, I don't know about you, but that should really cause you to slow down. This is a spiritual speed bump right here. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. What does he mean by that? Be of good comfort. Okay. Be of one mind. All right. Lay off. Live in peace. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Meaning, unless or until you put that in order, the God of peace might not give you the peace that you want. The God of love might not give you that love that you need because you are willfully disobeying what God is saying here. Ephesians chapter 6. Of course, I'm just flying over the scriptures here. There's a lot that we're not touching, but I'm just going to highlight some peaks here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, he's written 5.5 chapters. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong. Don't forget the next part in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, that passage of scripture hinges on a two-letter word. In. Be strong in the Lord. Because Paul says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul, that's a contradiction. No, it ain't. If I'm in the Lord and the Lord is in me and I don't trust in me, but I trust in him, that's the formula. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now again, these passages of scripture don't necessarily require a degree in theology. They don't necessarily require you go to seminary. And they don't necessarily require that you spend 3 hours in your devotion. But they do require some thought and some prayer and some meditation and some consideration. Philippians 3:1. Here we are again. Finally, my brethren, what does he say? Rejoice in the Lord. There might be things that might not be very pleasant or very glad or very happy. But finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Now, a 5-year-old can get that, right? That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. So, we've looked at, and really the whole goal this evening is to be reminded that there is a time and there's a place for study, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And there's a time when we don't necessarily have to do cross-referencing. We don't necessarily have to be studious, but we can study a particular passage of Scripture and get as much nourishment as possible out of one verse all day, all week, all month, all year. Where do you think those themes come from? I don't think up those themes. I don't. But I look for a pattern. I look for a theme. I'm pretty sure I got next year's theme all set. I'm about 95% sure. The problem is I got two or three going at once. So I'm trying to figure out which one he wants. But as you look through the Scriptures, you can see things consistently maybe coming to you where you are in your walk with the Lord. So maybe that's God's theme for you, as he's highlighting in your life some things that are important to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, this book is probably the first book, the first epistle that Paul wrote. So this is his first letter. This is his first church that we have a letter written to. And 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians is about the second coming of Christ. So the theme is about the second coming of Christ. And he ends this particular book in chapter number 5 as he gives kind of like a summary. So chapter 5, the end of chapter 5 is like bullet points. So let's begin in verse number 12. And I want to remind you, I'm going to go to the end of the chapter. So I want you to understand that every single one of these could be, should be, well, I'm not going to go to the end. I'm basically going to go to verse 23. A verse that we could pause and reflect on. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Basically talking about spiritual leadership. And be at peace among yourselves. So we have one bullet point. Know, honor, and respect the spiritual leaders God has put over you. Second bullet point says, be at peace among yourselves. Get along. Maintain the unity of the Spirit, and so on. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Another bullet point. Warn them that are unruly. Another bullet point. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Another bullet point. Be patient toward all men. Again, these aren't deep, but they are profound. And they are commands, New Testament commands. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Oh, I'm going to get revenge on you. No, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So we're to avoid getting even with somebody. And we're to follow goodness. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Two words. There's only one other verse in the Bible with two words. Everybody know it? Good, you passed your Bible class. And Jesus wept. Here, rejoice how often? Evermore. That's a commandment. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Can that keep you going? Mm-hmm. Pray without ceasing. How about the next verse? No, I'm sorry. Verse 18. In everything, not for everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God's will for God's people is to be thankful. Clearly says God's will for God's people, be thankful in everything. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. These are not long sentences, but these are profoundly deep. Verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Verse 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what that means? That means do right. If the world thinks what you're going to do is wrong for a Christian to do, then you should probably not do it. Even lost people know what the standards for a Christian should be. The other day, my granddaughter, Janet Lynn's daughter, Ariella, we were out over at Hillview School in their jungle gym outside. And there was a Ukrainian man there with his kids, two kids. I said to Janet, how do you know he's Ukrainian? She said, just look at his shoes. I said, you can tell a guy's Ukrainian by his shoes. He's got leather loafers on and they're white. And he speaks Ukrainian. I said, oh, that's the kicker. He speaks Ukrainian. How do you know he speaks Ukrainian? Sounds just like Slav, my son-in-law. So Ariel is playing with these two boys. One's 4, one's 7. And it's time to gather up Ariella. So Pop-Pop goes over and says, Ariella, it's time to leave. What do you think happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. So these two Ukrainian boys are watching. Ariella, come on, it's time to go. She's not coming. You know what the 7-year-old boy said? She's not trained yet. It's not deep. It's obvious. It's not deep. But God gives us some things in His Word that are so profound that if we were to read this chapter just to read the chapter because we're supposed to get through the Bible, look at all the speed bumps we'd be missing. Wow, this is serious. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, entirely, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One more passage, Philippians chapter 4. We might as well end there because this will wrap it up. Philippians 4. So to avoid drive-through nourishment, we might need to meditate and ponder and consider, dissect and define, pray over, ask questions relating to the verse, as well as asking God for wisdom regarding the principles that this particular verse might teach us. Philippians 4:8, of course, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate, consider, ponder these things. The rest is fluff. The rest is fast food. It might satisfy your hunger, but it might not. I don't know if you've looked at your news feed over the last couple of days. A teenage boy is blind because of Pringles, French fries, and what was the other thing he ate since he's been like 4 years old? Picky eater. That's all he's eaten his whole life. And the doctors diagnosed him with all kind of nutritional problems. At 17 years old, he's blind, permanently blind, because he ate what he wanted. When he wanted. Lord, we're all guilty of convenience. Sometimes we feel like we deserve a break today and we go take it. And we'll spend a few bucks more fast food because we're tired or we want to feel rich or we want somebody to serve us or whatever. And oftentimes that's the way it is in our Christian walk. We'll drive to work without praying, without reading. We'll put on the Christian station thinking that we'll get our spiritual nourishment from somebody else. And that might not be bad, but it's certainly not good. It might not be helpful, because God wants to spend time with us and not subcontract our spiritual relationship through somebody else. That goes with church. That goes with listening to sermons. Without a personal walk with the Lord, we're going to be malnourished spiritually. Lord, this is a tough time of year for many, especially our teachers, our students, administrators. We pray that you'd give them wisdom and grace. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let's prepare for our prayer requests. Thank you, sir. Edie, could you do me a favor? See that folder right there in front of me?